Genesis 4, verse 11. And now cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Thus far have we heard how the sin of Cain was revealed by the crying blood of his brother Abel, and that he was hereby convicted of the murder by his father Adam, and that the judgment of God concerning the two brothers was that the one should not only be justified but canonized, as we say, and declared to be a saint, and the first fruits, as it were, of this blessed seed of the righteous, but that the other brother, the firstborn, should be condemned and excommunicated, or cast out, as the following sacred narrative now shows. For Moses now proceeds to record the punishments which were inflicted of God on this fratricide. And here, in the first place, the carefulness and discrimination of the Holy Spirit, even from the beginning, is most worthy of our observation. For above, when the punishment was inflicted on Adam for his sin, the person of Adam was not cursed, but the earth only. And even the earth was not cursed absolutely in itself, but a certain curse, as it were, was made for it. For the curse was pronounced thus, Cursed is the ground for thy sake, Genesis 3, verse 17. Hence it is that Paul says, Romans 8, 20, For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, that is, not of its own will or fault, but because the earth instrumentally caused man to become a sinner, therefore also the earth was compelled to bear the curse as the instrument, in the same manner as gold, the sword, etc., are cursed, not in themselves, but because men sin by their means. This is a most beautiful reasoning, as it were, in the Holy Spirit, when he thus distinguishes between the earth and Adam. He makes the curse fall on the earth, but preserves the person of Adam. But in the instance before us, the Holy Spirit speaks of Cain otherwise. He curses the person of Cain. And why is this? Is it because the sin of Cain as a murderer was greater than the sin of Adam and Eve? Not so. But because Adam was that root from whose flesh and loins Christ, that blessed seed, should be born. This seed, therefore, is that which was spared. For the sake of this blessed seed, the fruit of the loins of Adam, the curse is transferred from the person of Adam to the earth, the very instrument, so that Adam bears the curse of the earth, but his person is not cursed, because from his posterity Christ was to be born. But because Cain, by his sin, fell from this glory of being the root of the blessed seed, therefore his person is cursed. And the Holy Spirit says to him, Cursed art thou, that we might understand that he was cut off from the glory of the promised seed, and was condemned never to have in his posterity such a seed as that seed, through which the blessing should come. This was Cain's rejection from all that stupendous glory of the promised seed. For Abel was now slain, therefore there could now be no posterity from him. But Adam was appointed still to serve God by his generating children. In Adam alone, therefore, Abel being slain, and Cain being accursed and rejected, the hope of the blessed seed rested until Seth was born unto him. The words of the Holy Spirit here are indeed few, when he says to Cain, Cursed art thou. But they are words worthy the deepest and most diligent consideration. The words are, in their import, as if the Holy Spirit had said to Cain, Thou art no longer he from whom the blessed seed can be hoped for. By these few words, therefore, Cain is rejected forever and is cut off as a branch from its stem, so that he can no longer hope for that glory which he so much strove to hold fast. For Cain's great desire was that the glory of his future blessing should be propagated from his loins and proceed from his posterity. But the more he strove to secure this glory, the further he was from obtaining it. And just so it is with all the wicked, for the more they labor to accomplish their purposes, the more surely they fail and fall. And here begin, as we have observed on the offerings of Cain and Abel, the two churches, which are ever at perfect enmity with each other, the church of Adam and the godly, which possesses the hope and promise of the blessed seed, and the church of Cain, which lost this hope and promise by sin and never could recover it. For in the deluge, the whole posterity of Cain was utterly destroyed, so that no prophet, nor saint, nor any head of a church of the posterity of Cain was left in existence. So utterly were all things denied to Cain and taken from him by this one word, when the Holy Spirit said to him, "Cursed art thou." But the expression "from the earth" is added. This is, as it were, a tempering of the awful wrath of God upon Cain. For if the Holy Spirit had said, "from heaven," it would have taken away the hope of salvation from the whole posterity of Cain forever. But since the expression is "from the earth," the fall of Cain's posterity from the promise and the glory of the blessed seed is threatened and determined, and yet a door was left open by which it might come to pass that some private persons of the generation of Cain might, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, join themselves to the posterity and church of Adam and be saved, as indeed in after ages it came to pass. For although the Jews alone retained the glory of giving birth to this blessed seed and possessed the promise which was in him, according to the Psalm, "He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his ordinances, they have not known them." Psalm 147, verse 20. Yet the Gentiles had the right of beggars, if I may so express it, and by begging they obtained the same blessing through the divine mercy which the Jews possessed through the true posterity of Adam, or the promise of God. In like manner also all rule in the church was absolutely denied to the Moabites and Amorites, and yet many private individuals among them embraced the religion of the Jews. It was thus also that all right in the church was taken away from Cain and his posterity absolutely, yet so that permission was left them to beg, as it were, for this grace. The right of being beggars was not taken from them, for Cain, because of his sin, was cast out from the right of sitting at the family table of Adam, but the right was left him in his posterity to beg and gather up as dogs the crumbs that fell from his father's table. Matthew 15, verses 26 and 27. This is signified by the Hebrew expression, "from the earth." I make these observations because there is a great probability that many of the posterity of Cain in the earliest ages of the world joined themselves to the holy patriarchs, but they abode in the church as private persons only and without any office in it, as those who had utterly lost the promise of the blessed seed being born from their body and posterity. And the loss of this promise was a serious matter to them. And yet this great curse was so mitigated toward them that there was granted to them, as we have said, the right of being beggars for it, as it were. Heaven was not absolutely denied them, provided they would join the true church, as it is written and particularly described in Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 8. But this joining the true church among his posterity, Cain strove to hinder in various ways. For he set up new forms of worship and invented numerous ceremonies, that thereby he also might appear to be the church. Those, however, who departed from him and joined the true church were saved, although they were compelled to despair of the glory of Christ being born from their body or posterity. But let us now return to the sacred text. Moses here uses a very striking personification. He represents the earth as being a dreaded beast when he speaks of her as having opened her mouth and swallowed the innocent blood of Abel. But why does he speak of the earth in terms so terrible when all these horrid things were transacted without her will or knowledge? Nay, since the earth is a good creature of God, and these things were done against her will and her struggle to prevent them. For Paul, as we have just observed, says, "The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly," etc., Romans 8:20. My reply is, this was done, and the Spirit thus spoke, according to Moses, as a terror to Adam and to all his posterity, that they might live in the fear of God and dread the sin of murder. For the words of Adam mean and are as if he had said, "Behold, the earth hath opened her mouth and swallowed the blood of thy brother, but she ought to have swallowed thee, the murderer. The earth indeed is a good creature, and is good to the good and godly, but to the wicked she is full of yawnings and loud cries." It is to this end that Moses records the Holy Spirit as having used these terrible expressions in reference to the earth through the mouth of Adam. It was to strike terror and confusion into murderers. Nor is there any doubt that Cain, after he heard these things from the mouth of his angry father, was terror-struck in his soul like Judas, and overwhelmed with confusion, so that he knew not which way to turn. The expressions, "which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand," are indeed full of terror, and they point out the awfulness of this murder in deeper colors than any pictures could represent it.